Casey at the Bat by Ernest Lawrence Thayer. The outlook wasn't brilliant for the Munville Nine that day. The score stood 4-2, but with one inning more to play. And when Cooney died at first, and Barrows did the same, a pall-like silence fell upon the patrons of the game. A straggling few got up to go in deep despair. The rest clung to the hope which springs eternal in the human breast. They thought, if only Casey could but get a whack at that, we'd put up even money now with Casey at the bat. But Flynn preceded Casey, as did Jimmy Blake, and the former was a hoodoo while the latter was a cake. So upon that stricken multitude, grim melancholy sat, for there seemed but little chance of Casey getting to the bat. But Flynn let drive a single, to the wonderment of all, and Blake, the much despised, tore the cover off the ball. And when the dust had lifted and men saw what had occurred, there was Jimmy safe at second and Flynn a hugging third. Then from 5,000 throats and more rose a lusty yell. It rumbled through the valley, it rattled in the dell. It pounded on the mountain and recoiled upon the flat, for Casey, mighty Casey, was advancing to the bat. There was ease in Casey's manner as he stepped into his place. There was pride in Casey's bearing, and a smile lit Casey's face. And when responding to the cheers, he lightly doffed his hat. No stranger in the crowd could doubt 'twas Casey at the bat. 10,000 eyes were on him as he rubbed his hands with dirt. 5,000 tongues applauded when he wiped them on his shirt. Then while the writhing pitcher ground the ball into his hip, defiance flashed in Casey's eye, a sneer curled Casey's lip. And now the leather-covered sphere came hurtling through the air, and Casey stood a-watching it in a haughty grandeur there. Closed by the sturdy batsman, the ball unheeded sped. "That ain't my style," said Casey. "Strike one," the umpire said. From the benches black with people, there went up a muffled roar, like the beating of a storm waves on a stern and distant shore. "Kill him! Kill the umpire!" shouted someone on the stand, and it's likely they'd have killed him had not Casey raised his hand. With a smile of Christian charity, great Casey's visage shone. He stilled the rising tumult. He bade the game go on. He signaled to the pitcher, and once more the dun sphere flew. But Casey ignored it, and the umpire said, "Strike two!" "Fraud!" cried the maddened thousands, and echoed answered, "Fraud!" But one scornful look from Casey, and the audience was awed. They saw his face grow stern and cold. They saw his muscles strain. And they knew that Casey wouldn't let that ball go by again. The sneer is from Casey's lip. His teeth are clenched in hate. He pounds with cruel violence his bat upon the plate. And now the pitcher holds the ball, and now he lets it go. And now the air is shattered by the force of Casey's blow. Well, somewhere in the favored land, the sun is shining bright. The band is playing somewhere, and somewhere hearts are light. And somewhere men are laughing, and somewhere children shout. But there is no joy in Mudville. Mighty Casey has struck out. Casey at the Bat, Ernest Lawrence Thayer, published June 3rd, 1888. San Francisco Examiner. Hey, Braves Country! Braves Country HD is bringing you Braves Country Baseball. Braves Country comes to you every Tuesday night and Friday night, and two bonus games every week. Hi, I'm Mac McGee, and we'll be bringing you play-by-play, pitch-by-pitch of your Atlanta Braves. It's free to listen. Please like and subscribe. YouTube.com/@Braves Country. Braves Country Baseball, for the fans, by the fans.
Armchair.
There's something, I'll say there's something kind of about a kid that's never played baseball.
We have been hoodwinked, bamboozled, and flat out deceived.
Why did you get so drunk?
You got drunk. I'm just really exhausted.
What's in that cup?
Rum and Cokes.
Do you have any idea how important
you
this is?
Have any idea?
Really, this
you
is what you're doing?
Idea?
Chief, what do you want to do tonight?
Same thing we do every night. Try to take over the world.
106 miles to Chicago. We got a full tank of gas, half a pack of cigarettes. It's dark, and we're wearing sunglasses. Hit it.
Armchair.
YouTube Live.
Radio Station.
The radio station you can call your own. What listeners like about our station?
I like everything. It's always on my radio.
We never stop the music, except for now, when I talk.
You're listening to Braves Country with Mac McGee and the Armchair Quarterbacks. We're here live weekdays, 3 p.m. Eastern to 5 p.m. Eastern, WQEE 99.1 FM, The Key, and simulcasting on YouTube.com/@Braves Country. Your first choice for Southern sports.
Good afternoon. I'm Mac McGee. I don't know much, but I know one thing. Idalia's heading right for us, man. About to get slap-ass ugly up in Braves Country. God dog it.
Armchair.
Community Access Channel.
He's the armchair quarterback. He's full of beer and he's full of snacks. The All-American Man.
With a cool one in his head.
Yeah, howdy, hi, and how the hell are you? Hope you're having a great Tuesday as the Braves come off another big W. And, man, did that offense take off last night. The gist of the whole thing, if you were asleep and didn't catch the whole game and didn't understand what happened with Acuna, when he was out there in right field, the Braves had just scored one up 9-4. And we were sitting here doing the game and you saw security, and at first the cameras weren't showing what was going on. That was the scary part of it. And then you see Acuna out there in right field, he's on the ground, and you're like, what in the world just happened? So it ends up being much to do about nothing. It ends up being a couple of fans that wanted selfies. Now, one of them kind of collided with Acuna, and everyone just kind of fell to the ground, but it wasn't like he was forcibly trying to hurt him or anything like that. But once again, and I kind of mentioned it in passing when we got back to the game, what the hell is going on? I mean, you can't have fans make it that far onto the field. And I don't know what Major League Baseball, it's not just Major League Baseball, but they better get ready for this in all major sports, that there's going to be a time where someone's going to go onto the field with ill intentions. And we don't want that for any athlete. All jokes aside, and everyone likes to take pot shots at each other's favorite rivalry teams, we do not want that for anybody. And if they don't do something, we're going to have an incident. I always go back to the Monica Seles stabbing, which just came out of nowhere. It was unbelievable. And as far as I know, in the major tennis tournaments, they have upped the security. But you're going to get some kind of psycho like that. What was the movie? The Fan? With Wesley Snipes and Robert De Niro. You're just going to have some psychopath that is either A, going to be obsessed with this person, or B, they're going to be on the other end of it where they're obsessed with his rival team, whoever the player is. I'm not just saying this because of Acuna. I don't want this happening to anybody. I don't want it to even happen to Pete Alonso. We all know we don't like Pete Alonso. But Pete Alonso should be able to go out there and play baseball and not worry about some nut job fan. And I understand security's not 100% all the time. I get that part of it. Hell, I did security for a long, long time. I did it for some nightclubs. I did it for just dive bars. I understand the security aspect of it. But it just doesn't seem like that any of it's being taken seriously. Maybe this is the wake-up call. I'm hoping that Manfred and company woke up this morning and goes, whoa, what happened? We can't have one of our stars. We can't have one of our players, but we can't have one of our stars getting attacked. You cannot have it. You can't have the players out there looking over the shoulder. You know, I've always wondered about this, why we've never seen it. And I know it's eventually going to happen. But when a player is going to make the final out of the game and some fan takes some debris and tosses it in his direction, I've always wondered how good the security is to prevent something like that. I think it's a little more difficult in a football arena because you're so much further away from the field of play. But a basketball game, a baseball game, a hockey game, I mean, the fans are right on top of them. And that's a good thing for the fan, for the more than 99.9% of the fans. I'm talking about, it is a very minute one in a million psychopath, but it only takes that one, and they've got to do something about it. They've got to take measures to have folks ready to rock on all anywhere that a fan could get access to the field. And we haven't seen this at every stadium, and I get that, but I also don't want to just pick on Colorado Rockies security because I don't think it's been a thing in basketball, in baseball, in football, in hockey, where you see an actual presence. And that's what you need. I hate that it's gotten to this, but with the world of social media and the world of everyone wanting their 15 minutes of fame, it just takes that one psycho. You know, we had a guy down here, what was it, Saturday or Sunday? He went into it was like one of those dollar stores. I don't remember the brand, but it was one of those dollar stores. And he went and killed three people. It was racially motivated, according to the police. It just takes that one nut job, that one psychopath that ruins it for the rest of us. But it is what it is, and I'd rather them be safe and take extra precautions. And maybe it's a little bit of a inconvenience for folks who are watching the game live than to worry about, for instance, a basketball game. I mean, this is the one that I've always been concerned about. A little bit with baseball, I've never really thought as much until last night about them being able to jump the fence and get down there as quickly as they did, because I always thought you would have security much quicker, and they're obviously not. They either don't have them, they're not trained, or they're severely out of shape because they were slow as hell to get to Acuna last night. And there's a reason why I said I used to do security. I couldn't run someone down nowadays. Are you nuts? But back in my day, you got me going forward, buddy. You better get the hell out of the way. I'm not just going to hurt you. I'm probably going to hurt myself as well, but we're going to collide. But when you get in there and you go to watch these games, and the basketball game is the one that I worry about the most, where the folks are sitting right there on the court, and it just takes one nut, one psychopath who is obsessed with said athlete or said team. And I just... That's pretty much where I'm going with what's crack-lacking today. I didn't play the the soundbite underneath, because I really felt like this is more of a serious topic. Ronald Acuna Jr., Mookie Betts, when he's healthy, Mike Trout, and even the run-of-the-mill, the Sam Hilliards, they all need to feel comfortable that when they're on the field, they've got enough to worry about that ball getting scalded at them at 100 miles an hour without some ridiculous situation where this, let's just call it what it is, this a-hole fan comes onto the field. And I know he probably didn't think nothing of it. Oh, this is great to get to meet Ronald Acuna Jr. He's probably a huge fan. But you don't even have to intentionally be doing something to mess with him. What if he goes out there and trips and falls into him and tears his knee? What if he goes out there and collides into him like he did and he just makes him gun-shy the rest of his career? There's just a million things that these fans, they're, and it's a problem with the world today. We won't go off that deep cliff, but more and more people are just so self-centered that they don't see the big picture and the fact that when you do something, when your actions always have a reaction. And if you don't get it right, you're going to turn it into a situation that nobody wants, but you're going to turn it into a situation where they're literally going to be playing in a bubble. They're going to have kind of like the way hockey has their glass all around. It's going to be much worse because it'll literally be a bubble where you could not get in. All you can do is see. Who wants that? Particularly going to a baseball game where the wind and everything else has always been a factor, except when you play in these dopey domes. Just, I really hope that they get it together. All right, we will move on, but I felt like that needed to be said. I've got a lot of confidence that this was probably seriously addressed this morning. But now it's got to be, it can't just be, well, we're aware of it. No. It's got to be, what are you going to do to prevent that from ever happening again in every stadium? Because it's the Rockies type of stadium where a nut would show up at, because security would be lax, because it's not a playoff game. It's not a team who's going towards the playoffs, right? And they're just hosting a very popular team. So anyways, that's the memo. Let's move on. Let's get into Braves versus Rockies as we are going into game two. It's going to be Matt Olson. Come on. Where you been, Matt? It's been like 2 weeks you haven't hit a home run. I thought last night was the night. Now, you can't complain all in all. Not only does the man have 43 home runs, 112 RBI, it's not like he isn't getting base hits. He's getting on base. He's getting on base. But I really want to see him go yard tonight. I think he's had one home run in the last, I want to say it's somewhere between 10 to 12 games. And considering the pace he is on, was on, that's a lot. That's a lot. So I'm thinking this is the night to get it. You're going up against Peter Lambert. Peter Lambert, you can see on the screen there that he's 3-4 with a 4.92. Peter Lambert, if you want to go, we'll just go for the last few outings. We're not going to go deep dive on a guy whose ERA is not the best. But I will say this. Last week in Tampa Bay, he went 5-2 earned. But let's focus on how he pitches at home. Pretty impressive against a bad White Sox team, granted. But Friday night on August 18th, so two starts ago, 7 innings, 1 earned run. The Dodgers got to him a little bit, still a quality start, 6 innings, 3 earned runs. The He went to Milwaukee in early August and got pounded 3 2/3 and five earned runs. But he seems to pitch pretty well at home. He was against San Diego. That one, they did get to him with 4 1/3 and four earned runs. But all in all, now I go back to the beginning of July and before. He has only been stretched out as a starter or been able to go deep enough to be considered a starter the last three starts. And in those three starts, it's interesting that he's got 18 innings pitched and only six earned runs. That's really not too shabby. He has given up four home runs in that span. He's averaged giving up 1.5 home runs for the month of August per outing. So, if there's that lineup that's going to get to him and get him to give up the home run, it's this one, right? You look at the other big numbers. In the 26 innings he's pitched, 21 strikeouts. This is very much like last night's starter in Gomber, where he's more of a pitch-to-contact guy. He can get you strikeouts, but he's not what you consider a strikeout pitcher at this point in his career. He averages just a smidge where, if you're looking at a 9-inning game all in all with Peter Lambert, you're basically projecting him out to have, if he went all 9 innings, about 6-7 strikeouts per game. So, not necessarily, he's not a elder where he doesn't get hardly any strikeouts, but he's also not going to blow you away. What I'm looking at tonight is his whip is fairly high with the 1.33. He's given up 14 home runs in 71 innings. That's a lot. If you want to compare that to what Charlie Morton, 141 innings, he's given up 13. So you're talking about almost exactly half as many innings and has given up as many home runs. The Braves ought to be able to get to Peter Lambert. They really should. I mean, this should not even be a question. The Braves ought to be able to score and score in bunches. I don't know if we're going to get to the 14 that we saw last night, but I think the Braves will go out there and score. I think they'll score often, and it'll set us up for a nice little possible three-game sweep. We did not use Darius Vines last night. So everything still points to, if Vines is not used tonight, which, considering how little they use the bullpen, I can't imagine that he would be used, right? So as little as he uses the bullpen, you're looking at a team that should be able to get through this game with Charlie Morton and not have to use Vines. So Vines is most likely going to pitch tomorrow. And if Vines is going to pitch tomorrow, we're going to be looking at a game where they're going to want to kind of save a bullpen a little bit. But honestly, tonight is the night where they're going to go a little more aggressive, use the back end of the bullpen, try to get the win with Charlie on the mound, and rest up the back guys, the back inning guys. So I kind of suspect no matter what we see Iglesias tonight, no matter what the situation is, we probably see Iglesias. He didn't pitch Sunday. He didn't pitch Monday. So what we're talking about here is getting him time in the game for tonight, because you want to take Wednesday off and have him ready to rock on Thursday. Last night, the guys that were actually used in the bullpen, and this could be a telling tale of who gets used tonight, especially when you project it forward. They used Brad Hand, they used Jimenez, and they used Minter. They could very well I was a little surprised to see Jimenez. I thought he would be used tonight along with Iglesias in some kind of mix. Minter didn't necessarily surprise me, but I do think there's a very good chance that we get both of them tonight so that they can have Wednesday off. Or they could be planning on not using either one of them and giving them 2 days off ready for the Dodgers series. If you can have a fully rested Minter, Jimenez, we'll say Iglesias gets in one inning. That's a pretty darn good back of the bullpen that would go into the Dodgers series, who have only thrown one inning over the last several days. Because when we get to the Dodgers series on Thursday, you could then deploy your arms pretty willingly over the next 4 days. You'll have some restraints depending on how it all plays out. But let's be honest, you play four games in Los Angeles against the Dodgers, against their best, four against your best. You're probably not going to have all four games go the way you think they're going to go. One may be a blowout. One may be a blowout that we get blown out of. You never know. You're probably going to have a couple of games in a four-game series that really comes down to the nitty-gritty. And that's what they want to have available for them so they have a chance to win those games. So with Brad Hand, I would think Brad Hand is going to be held out tonight and used tomorrow. Brad Hand is not one of our elite guys. You could go to Minter tonight and then give him tomorrow off, and you might even be able to give him off on Thursday and be ready to use him on the weekend. But when we're looking at who else that they could have available tonight, you could probably see Pierce Johnson. My biggest question with Pierce Johnson, and he was warming up last night. So a lot of times they look at that as he's been used, so to speak, right? What is Pierce Johnson's thoughts about pitching in Colorado? Because remember, his splits were terrible. Absolutely awful. Do they try to keep him out because they just don't want to screw up his mechanics because he's pitched so well for us here in the last couple of weeks? I could be on board with that and then have him ready to roll on Thursday night's game. And maybe that turns into, look, let's say we have a comfortable win tonight, there's a number of ways you could go. And let's say it's a close game tomorrow night and you don't want to carry – you don't want to use Jimenez. You don't want to use Iglesias. You could, in theory, put Pierce Johnson in to close a game in Colorado. It's not necessarily ideal, but considering all the options that they have, I mean, my God, does anybody want to see Colin McHugh toe the rubber in Colorado? If the game gets out of hand one way or the other, fair enough, put him in. But the guys that are pitching really well, I'm hoping that we get 6 or 7 out of Charlie. That's just a lot to ask when Charlie Morton is going to be dealing with the same elements that Elder. I thought Elder fought his way perfectly through that game. I thought that it was a tough win. There was a point there where we were tied 4-4 halfway through the game. It was 4-4 going into the fifth. We scored one. So it was 5-4. Going into the seventh inning. We scored 9 runs, 4 in the seventh and 5 in the ninth to blow it wide open. But there was definitely a point in time there in the game where I still felt very good about our odds because of our offense, but you were starting to wonder if we were going to be able to shut him down. All in all, Elder, it wasn't a spectacular win, but considering where he was pitching, 6 innings, 4 earned runs, 4 strikeouts, 1 walk, gave up 1 home run, scattered 8 hits. I'll take that any day of the week. It's really not as bad as it sounds. Not when you're talking about him being in Colorado. Going 6 and giving up 4 earned in Colorado is the equivalent of 7-2 in Atlanta. So I thought Elder pitched pretty solid. He had times where he was getting too much of the plate. But look, any pitcher will tell you that it's worth their grain of salt that he's pitched in Colorado. There are times where you have a lot of control problems because the ball just isn't spinning the way you want it to spin it. My pick to click tonight, considering who is on the mound, and Lambert, God bless. I don't want to keep going to Matt Olson. I hit Acuna on the head last night. I don't want to go to Olson because I don't want to. I feel like I'm messing up his mojo. So until he hits a home run, I'm not going to Olson. Let him get out of his funk. Pick to click. Give me. I'm going to take Marcelo Ozuna. I think he gets one out again tonight. I really do. He's hitting the ball incredibly. Give me Marcelo Ozuna. Man, that ball that came off his foot last night, that had me worried. Thankfully, he appears to be okay. And I think we're going to get another high-scoring game. I wasn't too far off last night. I had the total number right. I had 12-6. We went 14-4, so 18 runs. I hit that nail on the head. Give me a little lower-scoring game. I still think that Colorado will score their runs, but I don't think we'll quite get 14. Give me the Atlanta Braves to win tonight, somewhere in the neighborhood of 11 to. We might put the junk pitchers in. Give me 11-5. Let me see 11-5. Maybe a little higher scoring game. As far as tomorrow night's game, we're playing that by ear. If you don't, honestly. If we can do it, I'm going to do it. But if it comes, it's game time and you don't see us pop up, you know that it's a little too dangerous situation. They're projecting the hurricane to come right through Braves Country Studios in that area right around that time period. And if it's too risky, it's the whole point of getting it fired up and then losing power. What the heck is the point of all that? So I've got to see that the storm is out of harm's way. And I also got to make sure that my family is safe and sound and we're not having to board up anything because we do have some flooding issues from time to time. So there you have that. Okay, let's take a quick break.
You can't drink like me. You can't smoke like me. So don't try and be like me. Let's party together.
There's something kind of about a kid that's never played baseball.
If baseball is about caring, about loyalty and rivalry.
Baerga is 0-3. Left center field. Grissom on the run. The team of the 90s has its world championship.
There's a very peaceful thing. It was created and played in pastures and meadows. There's grass, there's outdoors, there's everything that people thought was American and feel about America. You get in a ballpark, and it's the wonder of walking through that dark tunnel and seeing a huge open space where men play the little boy's game.
I believe in the Church of Baseball. I've tried all the major religions and most of the minor ones. I know things. For instance, there are 108 beads in a Catholic rosary and there are 108 stitches in a baseball. I prefer metaphysics to theology. You see, there's no guilt in baseball, and it's never born. It's a long season and you gotta trust it. I've tried them all, I really have, and the only church that truly feeds the soul day in, day out is the Church of Baseball.
Touch them all, Joe! You'll never hit a bigger home run in your life!
A lot of room in right center. If he hits one there, we can dance in the streets. The 2-1. Swung line drive, left field! One run is in! Here comes Breed! He's the front of the plate! He is! Braves win!
You're in Braves country.
We're down to one strike here. Gurriel, the last hope for the Houston Astros. Here's the 0-2 pitch. Swung on, bounced over to Dansby. Dansby fires it over to first. And here comes the dog pile! Fire the cannons in the battery!
chop all throughout Braves country. Pop that top. Your Atlanta Braves have won it all.
Oh, say can you see by the dawn's early light what so proudly we hailed at the twilight's last gleaming, whose broad stripes and bright stars through the perilous fight all around us we once were so gallantly streaming, and the rocket's red glare the bombs bursting in air.
Coors Field in Denver, Colorado. Hi, and how the hell are you? Pull up an armchair, girls and boys, and join us for Braves Country Baseball. We are live, and the scene is where we're set to bring you pitch by pitch, play by play of your Atlanta Braves. Hi, I'm Mac McGee. Here are your starting lineups for today's action. Leading off and playing right field for your Atlanta Braves, Ronald Acuna Jr., batting 335, 61 stolen bases, 79 RBI, and 29 home runs. Ozzie Albies, batting second, playing second. 28 home runs, 90 RBI, 11 stolen bases, batting 263. Austin Riley, batting third, playing third. 31 home runs, 81 RBI, 3 stolen bases, batting 274 on the year. Matt Olson, batting cleanup, playing first base for your Atlanta Braves. 43 home runs, 112 RBI, 1 stolen base, batting 272. Marcell Ozuna, the designated hitter, now with 29 home runs, 71 RBI, batting 265. Eddie Rosario is in left field with 20 home runs, 64 RBI, 3 stolen bases, batting 262. Sean Murphy is behind home plate with 20 home runs, 66 RBI, batting 274. And Orlando Arcia is batting eighth, playing shortstop, 15 home runs, 50 RBI, 1 stolen base, batting 280. Michael Harris II, patrolling center field for your Atlanta Braves, has 12 home runs, 41 RBI, 19 stolen bases, batting 285. On the mound for your Atlanta Braves, Charlie Morton, 13-10 with a 3.37 ERA, 1.38 WHIP, 141 and two-thirds innings, 157 strikeouts, 129 hits allowed, 67 walks, and 13 home runs given up. He'll be going head-to-head with Pete Lambert, who's 3-4 with a 4.92 ERA, a 1.33 WHIP, 71 and one-third innings pitched, 70 hits allowed, 62 strikeouts, 55 walks, and 14 home runs given up. Backing up Lambert in the bottom of the first inning, it'll be Charlie Blackman, who is the designated hitter. 7 home runs, 32 RBI, batting 291. Tovar is at shortstop, 15 home runs, 61 RBI, batting 258. Ryan McMahon, batting third, playing third. 22 home runs, 67 RBI, 5 stolen bases, and a 253 average. Diaz is back behind home plate with 13 home runs, 62 RBI, 1 stolen base, and a 271 average. Nolan Jones is in left field with 13 home runs, 39 RBI, 8 stolen base, batting 275. Goodman is playing first. He's 4-for-8 on the year with 2 RBI. Castro is the second baseman, 1 home run, 29 RBI, 1 stolen base, batting 262. And Toglia is in right field, 4 home runs, 9 RBI, 1 stolen base, batting 172. Doyle is in center field, has 8 home runs, 29 RBI, and 17 stolen bases, batting 189. Calling balls and strikes tonight behind home plate, it'll be Lance Barrett. First base umpire, Ryan Wills. Doug Eddings at second. And down the third base line, it's Ryan Blackney. Braves come in minus 285 on the money line. The over-under is 12. Atlanta Braves are 85-45 on the year, 41-23 on the road. Colorado Rockies, 49-82, 28-34 at home. Atlanta Braves took game one of the series, going for the series win tonight with the third game set for tomorrow at 8:40. Atlanta Braves' magic number to win the National League East is 20. Home field advantage, the number now sits at 29. Well, it's about that time. Grab you a cold one. Find you an armchair. It's Braves Rockies late night edition, Braves Country Baseball. Get your game face on, Braves Country. Lineup for Yesterday by Ogden Ash. A is for Alex, the great Alexander. More goose eggs he pitched than a popular gander. B is for Bresnahan, back of the plate. The Cubs were his love and McGraw his hate. C is for Cobb, who grew spikes not corn and made all the basemen wish they weren't born. D is for Dean, the grammatical diz. When they asked who's the tops, said correctly, I is. E is for Evers, his jaw in advance, never afraid to tinker with chance. F is for Fordham and Frankie and Fish. I wish he were back with the Giants, I wish. G is for Gehrig, the pride of the stadium. His record, pure gold. His courage, pure radium. H is for Hornsby, when pitching to Raj, the pitcher would pitch, then the pitcher would dodge. I is for me, not a hard-hitting man, but an outstanding all-time, incurable fan. J is for Johnson, the big train in his prime, was so fast he could throw three strikes at a time. K is for Keeler, as fresh as green paint, the fastest and mostest, to hit where they ain't. L is for LaHoy, whom Clevelanders love. Napoleon himself, with glue in his glove. M is for Matty, who carried a charm in the form of an extra brain in his arm. N is for Newsom, Bobo's favorite kin. You ask how he's here, he talked himself in. O is for Ott, of the restless right foot. When he leaned on the pellet stay put. P is for Plank, the arm of the A's. When he tangled with Matty, games lasted for days. Q is for Don Quixote, Cornelius Mack. Neither Yankees nor years can halt his attack. R is for Ruth, to tell you the truth. There's no more to be said, just R is for Ruth. S is for Speaker, Swift center field tender. When the ball saw him coming, it yelled, I surrender. T is for Terry, the giant from Memphis, whose 400 average you can't overemphasize. U would be Ubel if Carl wore a Cockney, but we say Hubble in baseball like football in Rockney. V is for Vance, the Dodgers' very own Dazzy. None of his rivals could throw as fast as he. W, Wagner, the bow-legged beauty, short, closed to all traffic, with Honus on duty. X is the first of two X's in Fox, who is right behind Ruth with his powerful socks. Y is for Young, the magnificent Cy. People battled against him, but I never knew why. Z is for Zenith,
the summit of fame. These men are up there. These men are the game. Lineup for yesterday, Ogden Ash, January 1949, Sport Magazine.